Father, we are just so blessed to be loved by you. We just stand in awe of you this lovely afternoon, Lord. And just let our heart set it before you, Lord. Have thine own way, O Lord, as we go on our next session of just sharing your word. And pray, Lord, for a heart of expectancy to all of us, Father, that we will take our portion this day, Lord, as we begin another new walk with you. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've heard so many things the past few hours. And today I want to talk about prayer. I just thank God that as I was growing up, I had a role model right in my family. And that was my mother. This woman, we call her powerhouse in our house. We call her because we see, we watch. Everything she does, it always begins with a prayer and always end up with a prayer. So in everything that we do, in every, whatever, us children, even her and dad, we watch our mom. She'll always be in prayer. Even while she's cooking, she is in prayer. So it's something that I have watched and I said, Lord, I want that kind of lifestyle. And I thank God that as I grew up, I watch and I imitate mom's lifestyle. And to this very day, I see the power of being a prayer warrior. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that will be our topic this afternoon. And I want to thank you all. I was so encouraged with your word of encouragement to me, that you are touched by the words that has been uttered this morning. And I just said, it's God. I'm just a mouthpiece. You're a mouthpiece. We are all mere instruments of this living God. And we are just here to share with one another, encourage one another of how we have to walk in his way, in his path, with him as he leads us. Amen. Now, if we look in Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place, and with him who has contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Dear friends, the Lord moves when a contrite heart prays. What is a contrite heart? It is a broken heart, broken into pieces, and say, Lord, put them once again, piece by piece, and mend it. That's what a contrite heart, that's what it means to me. So when you come to the place of prayer, the Lord wants to see that we are broken. Broken, just like that Mary, when she took that jar and she broke it, and then she put it over the Lord. That's exactly, and what comes out of that jar? Fragrance. Fragrance, and that is what we as sisters, as daughters of the Lord, those broken pieces, let the Lord mend it piece by piece, because we cannot do that. Only him, he can do that. Amen. So, prayer. The two most important disciplines in the life of a believer is Bible study and prayer. It is impossible to grow continually in Christ without practicing both. Amen. Prayer is the primary means by which we talk to God, and it is also a way to teach us the way he teaches us, sorry. So when we pray, we are petitioning the Lord and trusting him for the answer. Amen. Yes, that's the reason why you pray. That's the reason why you pray. So, in doing so, we learn to listen to him. In doing so, just as we learn to wait for his response. And he loves for us to honor him through the spiritual act of worship, which is called prayer. Now, indeed, prayer is one of the best ways to honor God. So when we pray to our Heavenly Father, we acknowledging that he is God, that he is truly the high God above, who deserves glory. And we ascribe him honor to him when we pray without ceasing, which is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And that is, we are to maintain a God-focused attitude throughout the day, continually asking Him to govern every detail of our lives. Dear sisters, prayer is communicating with God. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So even if you're cooking, even if you're sweeping, even if you're just sitting, be in tune with your God. Be in tune. Be prayerful. Because I have seen the strength, I have seen the breakthrough when you pray. Amen. It's just like you will never know your God until you pray constantly. It's just like you and I. If we talk to each other each day, if we converse with each other each day, if we communicate with each other each day, we get to know each other very well. And likewise, it's you talking to God. So if you are prayerful every day, you'll get to know your God. You'll know what He thinks of you. You'll know what He wants you to do. Very clear. Very clear. So it's very important that we as believers, we must be prayerful. Now, sometimes our prayer are filled more with doubt than with confidence, isn't it? Especially when you are praying for something that just looks so impossible to you. And so doubt begins to fear. Doubts begin to rise. Now, if I'm correct, in Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. And then it says, 23 to 24, it says, tell this mountain to be removed and do not doubt, but just believe, and all this shall come to pass. So you see, doubt is a problem. So that is not faith. That is not faith. Because faith, you are believing something that you haven't even seen. That is faith. Okay, so it's very important you should check yourself when doubts start creeping in. And that's one of the weapon of the enemy. All right, and that is in Mark 11:22 to 24. So we know that for God to answer our requests, our prayer must be inclined with His will. However, wondering if we are praying according to His will can trip us up and face with the uncertainty, and we will occasionally fall silent. God's will is for each of us to have a healthy relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that means knowing the Father with increasing intimacy and progressively become more and more like Jesus. Amen. As I said, as you continue to pray, there's a relationship that builds up here. Just like as I'm saying, if you talk to your neighbor, talk to your husband often, talk to your children often, there is a relationship that begins to grow. So likewise in your prayer life too, there is a beautiful relationship that grows with your God. Now, by focusing our prayers on having this type of relationship with the Lord, it becomes easier to know what to pray. Amen? Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. You know, there is somebody who said, okay, what should I be praying for now? But when you are connected with the Holy Spirit of God, you know what? It's amazing. Just as you sit still and say, Lord, I want to pray today. And He will just bring into your heart, pray for Indonesia, pray for Thailand. Eh? Names of, he just put names of countries, or even your friend, even your neighbor. You know, for me, sometimes when I sit and just be silent, and then suddenly I see, I could see the face of a friend of mine, and I just pray. I don't know why I'm praying. I just pray. And the Lord just put, I have to pray for her illness. I have to pray for danger to be stopped, that the Lord will just intervene. And sure enough, a few days later or a few hours later, my friend, that very friend called. Man, sis, I went through this. You did? What time? So and so. I said, thank you, Lord. What happened? I was just thinking of you in my prayer. So you see, that's how I said, when you are connected with the Holy Spirit all the time, there will come a time when you are even cooking and suddenly the Lord just places in your heart, pray for so and so. And please be obedient, because it can be a matter of life and death. Amen? Yes, very important. And just imagine, this is something I always imagine. When the Lord put that in your heart, millions and billions of people in the whole wide world, that very moment the Lord chose you. Isn't that special? The billion and billions of people, the Lord didn't choose anyone at that moment but you. That's an honor. The King of Kings didn't think of nobody but you. He trusted you that you will pray. Take that. Just receive that. That you are somebody that God has implanted. I mean, He created us. He has implanted those qualities in us. Just you and I, we have to find it and develop it for His glory. Amen. So, simply find a scripture. By focusing our prayers in having this type of relationship with the Lord, it becomes easier to know what to pray. So, simply find a scripture that tells you something about God's character, and then pray that for others and for yourself. And you know, when you do that, these are some results. You can pray with confidence because God wants His children to be like Jesus Christ. Amen. 2, you can pray expectantly because you know His will work out and His will in our lives. 3, you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So while He works to develop the same quality in you. So prayer gains access to the proud spirit, to the hardened heart, to the unbelieving mind. So there are no walls or high or too thick for Him to breach. Praise God. Because He is God. No matter how high is that particular problem of yours, no matter how wide it is, God goes through it because He is the God above all gods. Those little teeny weeny gods which are idols in our life. God is above it all. Amen. Now, the question I want to give you this afternoon. Are you devoted to prayer? I don't need to put people to put their hands up this afternoon. But just like me, almost all of us recognize that prayer life could use some improvement, isn't it? Yes, all of us, we need our prayer life to be improved. So once again, it comes to the matter of choice and decision for you and I. Do I really want to improve my prayer life? But as I said, it's the best decision to do it. Yes, Lord, I want to improve my prayer life. Amen. So part of the problem is that we are inundated with pressures and activities in this fast-paced world. And as a result, prayer often becomes a quick sentence. Amen. Yep. We just wake up in the morning. We have so many plans there for us to take over that day. And we just say, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for today. I woke up and blah, 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 da, 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 da. Within minutes, you are out the door. When it's prayer life, even though, as I said, you can be cooking on, take time to sit and be still in the presence of God. Take time to meditate on His word. Quality time. Not just spare time. Not just a little puny limited time. Quality time God wants from you and I. Then and only things will be clear. The word of God will be clear when you meditate on it prayerfully. Things will come clear to you when you do that. And who will be blessed in that? You and I. You and I. We'll go to another level of faith. We'll go to another level in our walk with Jesus. That is why it's very important to have quality time with God. So, however, lack of time isn't any excuse. That's it. Lack of time isn't any excuse for not sitting down quietly with the Lord or to read His word and talk with Him. The real problem here, sisters, like me, is our priority. What is your priority in your prayer life? So the real problem is our priority. We are so consumed with the urgent and have lost sight of what's truly important. Yes, we do. There's so many things. I was a working mom. So, excuse me. In the morning, my children, they know 7:30, everybody should be in the car. I don't expect my child to be running around and get in the car. 7:30, in the car moves. That's the law of their mother. Even the daddy abides to it. Because I work far than anybody else, so I drive. So 7:30, everybody gets in the car, so the car moves. And one of my daughters will be running around with her hair. All my daughters have long hair. And the two older ones, everything is done. They're sitting pretty in the car. The youngest, my youngest, Alexandra, he'll be running around with her comb, with her hairbrush, with her hair cream. And she's diving into this back seat with her two sisters on the side. And she sits in the middle. And then as I drive, and this girl, she combed part of her hair this side. So Esther, the number two, she was saying, "Ma, look at Alexandra. She's just, all her cringe is going on my uniform." And then I'm there, and I said, "Alexandra," half looking, half turning, "Alexandra, what did Mom tell you?" "Oh, Ma, no, what is this?" So she platted this one, and while the other one was quiet, Kelly. Then she turned this one to plait this one. And Kelly complained from this side. You know, I'm amazed with our dad. He just sits still as if he's deaf. As if he just cut him off from every noise that's happening around him. That's one thing I admire about this husband of mine. So, their mother is driving and yelling and screaming. "Excuse me." And Kelly, "Ma, just look at her." And one time I was right in the middle, and then we stand in a queue, and I was saying, "I told you not to da 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 da." And next thing, Kelly, "Hold on, Mom, the window. I said, "What?" She said, "The window." Well, you know what, sisters? The window was down, and she was telling me to raise the window because everybody in the queue, they were looking at me with all my yelling and screaming. So I just looked. "Hi." You know, one question there, my sisters. Did they see Christ in there? Did they see the light of Jesus in this woman? I don't think so. But I've improved all these years. I've improved. Yes, amen. So, you know, that's what I said. You know, you can have a good prayer time at home. Oh, man. But when it comes to this, putting my kids and, oh, my Lord. Yes. But I praise God. Eh? Remember I said earlier, these are part of our trials of the pruning. So I praise God at this time. Those hairdos and with my girls. And yes, so they have come. They still have long hair. So they can behave themselves as they are young adults now. But praise be to God. You know, these are things that we go through as mothers. And I know I'm talking to everyone here. Yes, as mothers. It's beautiful to be a mom and to be a woman. So, once again, our problem is priorities. So by neglecting prayer, we forfeit greater love for Christ, very true, and a deeper relationship with him and his power in our weaknesses. So it's very important, dear sisters, once again, the power of prayer. But our lack of prayer also affects other people. So it's not only you, it affects other people. How? When Paul told the Colossians, you'll find this Colossians 4, 7 to 10, he says to the Colossians to devote themselves to prayer, and he requested them they include him and his ministry. So your prayer is not only you, as I said earlier, it includes others, it affects others. So as Christians, we have been given the responsibility and privilege of interceding for each other. Amen? I'm just so glad to be here in New Zealand. And I know your prayer, as you pray for the world, Fiji is included. As you pray for the world, for missionaries, one is standing right here. I travel a lot. And you may not know me by name. You may not know me by face. But when you mention, Lord, the Christians out there in the world, one of them is standing here. Praise the Lord. So I pray, dear sister, never stop praying for missionaries. Never stop praying for countries, for the nation, your neighbors, for the school community in your neighborhood, for your children. Prayer is a powerful weapon. So As Christians, we have been given that responsibility. So this is one of the ways we contribute to God's work in the world and display our love for fellow believers. Knowing what's at stake is a great motivation for our faithful prayer. Isaiah 57:15 says that our Father dwells on high and holy place, and also with a contrite and lowly in spirit. This means that our motives and the conditions of our hearts are very important in prayer. Simply wanting to get our way is not the spirit of prayer that honors God. Furthermore, it does not produce prayer that He will answer. Oh, and the Heavenly Father longs for an intimate relationship with his children. So, time spent in communication with God is the best way to grow close to Him. As I said, that is a means of the most important communication with God, prayer. Prayer. Praying in the promises of God. That's something I would like to tell you. How important, when you pray, do it with the Word of God. Pray it with the Word of God. It's effective. Because as I said, we'll all say, oh Lord, I pray, help me in this sickness. No, He gave you the Word. I am your healer. Use that Word. Lord, your Word says, you are my healer. In Jesus' name, I am healed. I've just said earlier, do not doubt, but just believe, and all this shall come to pass. Use God's Word. Use God's Word. Just a testimony. I was in 2017. I was on my way to New York to attend a conference for the UN. And as I left Fiji, I said, Lord, I want to go to Washington. But when I look through my itineraries, Washington is not there. So I said, Lord, I want to see Washington, especially to sight the White House. So, and when I started my journey in Fiji, I was supposed to go at 9:30 p.m. But then we were told we'll leave at about 11:30 p.m. So I said, Lord, you up to something. Amen, amen. So I got in the plane, went to L.A. About some time in the morning, I reached there. Then I waited till evening, till 9:30 in the evening. Then I have to go to Philadelphia to New York. So I sat in L.A. Oh, I didn't just seek my sisters. I went hunting for a soul for Jesus. So I said, okay, Lord, that has always been my mission. Personally, I always look for one to share the Word of God. So when I was in Nandi, I was sharing with this Indian lady who was sitting in a wheelchair. So I had, and she's, after talking, she said, can you pray for me? I had a time with her. But in my heart, I said, Lord, you got somebody for me. You got somebody for me. Well, anyway, so I reached LA. Then next thing, by 9:30, I heard my name. We were all packed at the departure lounge. And I heard, calling upon passenger Amelia Gavindi. It was twice when they called, and I said, oh, that's me. So I came to the counter, and I said, I'm Amelia Gavindi. Oh, okay, ma'am. Well, this is a voluntary thing. You don't mind if you stay for the night? We'll provide everything, the hotel, the transport, everything, and you fly tomorrow. But as they were speaking to me, my heart, the Lord is saying, no, you take this one. So I said, oh, I'm sorry. I need to take this one. So they said, okay. But ma'am, you will miss your flight to New York. So as soon as you reach there, go to the counter, tell the lady, and she will do some arrangements for your going to New York. I said, oh, don't worry. So I got to Philadelphia. And sure enough, when I came there, my plane has left for New York. So I went to the lady, I was telling her, and she said, so I said, what time? Oh, it'll go at 8:30. Oh, okay. Anyone closer right now? She said, yes, one here, 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes, it'll be flying. So I said, put me there, please. And tell me where I have to run. And she said, that way, turn, shuttle, out, shuttle, and on the passage, you will see the gate. I said, thank you. Same time, I said, Lord, strengthen my whole being. I'm going to run here. Now, dear sisters, when I was in high school, I used to be a sprinter. And I've never done that sprinting till 2017. And you know what? I still got it. Uh-huh. I still got it. Well, I said, Lord, amen, and I ran. I just said, this is the other thing I said, Lord, I pray, just select the people who need to help me. I ran, dear sisters. As soon as I ran, I turned. There was this gentleman. Please, sir, can you show me the shuttle? There, as soon as he pointed, the door opened. I just went, jumping, standing in the shuttle with other passengers, of course. I said, Lord, the next one, you have to provide the other one. So I jump out. There was a lady with a coffee. Ma'am, can you show me the shuttle? She said, there. I jumped there. And when I was going, because the lady said, 10 minutes. And it was quite a distance that I was going. And this is one prayer. I said, Lord, hold the plane in Jesus' name. I didn't say it as a joke. I meant what I said. Because I trusted my God. Prayer is powerful. And I said, Lord, hold that plane. I'm going to get in that plane. And out of the shuttle, I saw this passage. And there it was, the lady who they were getting in. I ran from there to that place. I'm telling you, there were three passengers. I know, that was the look they gave me. Okay, now, I've been hearing, well, I don't know what they were thinking, but you know, these bombs and things going around. So maybe they thought, because I had my knapsack going up and down, and the way I'm running, hello, like it's emergency here. Yeah, so as soon as there is, I did a big jump and I said, yes, Lord, thank you. Nobody responded. So I said, good morning. The lady said, okay, can I have a ticket, please? In. So I went and sat down. You know what? All this running around, I remember as I ran, and I remember the lady said, Washington. So I didn't really take it. I just went. So I sat down, and when I sat down, then I recalled the word she said. She said that flight was going to Washington and then to New York. What was my prayer in Fiji? What was my prayer in Fiji, dear sisters? I said, Lord, I want to see Washington. I want to see the White House. And sure enough, after a few hours sitting in there, I got up in the plane to go to New York. And just then, I was sitting at the window. And I said, wow, Lord, I'm in Washington. I mean, I stood on the soil of Washington. And then suddenly this plane went and it tilted. And guess what? When I look at the window, right there, the White House and the beautiful garden and the fountain. That is God that we serve. That is the prayer when you use God's word and you trust him that he can do the impossible. So all these delays of flight, it was meant for this daughter. And that can be meant for you and I. This is real, sisters. This is real. I still have my own weaknesses. But God just saw my heart. How far do I trust him? All the way. How far do I trust him? That's exactly what he wants from you and I. How far do you trust this God that he can do the impossible? So there I was. The very thing that I desired was to be in Washington. And I sighted the White House. Using God's word. Because I said, Lord, you're a God who has never lied. Eh? Everything I ask in the name of Jesus, it shall come to pass. I trusted his word. So simple. You know, just one sentence. But the heart, your heart and my heart, how far does he trust God's word? So Jesus made it clear that we would endure hardship in life. But God provided amazing tools to keep trials from, amen. Okay, where am I? Oh, yes. All right. Right. And yes, God provided amazing tools to keep trials from overwhelming us. For instance, he placed his spirit inside each of us, believers, to guide and to empower us. Now, in addition, he gave us prayer. So we could not only communicate and stay connected with our Father, but also bring him our requests. So the word of God Almighty is the truth. It never changes. Hallelujah. Yes, that's the truth. That's the truth. It cannot be wavered. Only you and I, we are wavered at times by what we see, by what things that moved us, which we should not. Because when you stand in God's word, God's word is not moved. It enables us in all circumstances so we have a sure foundation on which to base our lives and decisions. There are thousands of promises in the Bible, countless assurances that we can rely on with perfect confidence. God wants us to learn them so we won't miss out on blessings he wants to give. And wise believers will turn his promises into prayers, so which they express as a cry of their hearts. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So we can pray God's word back to him, saying, we believe that he teaches us and reveal his path, and that he'll remain by our side as our caregiver through the entire situation. So when our hardships arises, we need a solid foundation and watch on which to stand. So otherwise, our emotion could easily lead us astray through faulty thinking. God is faithful and unchanging, so we can trust his promises, which enable us to rest confidently on and act boldly. Amen. Now I come to the impact of prayer. Those who ask will receive answers, and those who seek will find. Those who knock will see the door open. Amen. Okay. Another testimony on that portion that I've just said. Now, just last month, I went to Switzerland, Zurich, Switzerland, for another meeting. Now, in Fiji, if I need a Swiss visa, I have to come to New Zealand. Yes, New Zealand, Wellington. All right. So, and I saw my itinerary. I don't need to come to New Zealand. And I have to be here physically. They have to take my thumbprints, and I think my eye. Yes. And so I said to myself, wow, Lord, that's too far. You know, I'll be wasting money going here, then I go this way. So, one prayer, Lord, I'm going through Hong Kong, so I don't need to go to Wellington. So, Lord, I just commit this visa in your hand. So, my secretary from Fiji said, my sister, there is what we can do. We can converse with the consul here, and then we'll see. Okay, so I just said, Lord, I place my visa in your hand. You have to deal with it. You are sending me to Zurich, so the visa is yours. I just say amen here. So I emailed the gentleman on this side in Wellington, and he said, ma'am, we've never done this because Pacific Islands have to come here to Wellington, but I will try. I said, amen. Thank you, my brother, for your help. So your sister left Fiji without a visa to Switzerland. But guess what? I put it in my itinerary that I'm leaving on the following day in 12 a.m. flight to Zurich. No visa, sisters. That is faith. That is faith. Okay, anyway, I arrive in Hong Kong and in this huge something plus level of room. So I was there. I came, I dropped all my documents on my bed. I just dumped my bag, lay hands on my documents. And I said, Lord, I'm thanking you by faith that all these documents will be seen by the Swiss embassy here. I'm believing, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, you are in control of this. You are my foundation, Lord. You are the one. Your authority is the final authority. Not New Zealand, not Fiji, not Switzerland, not Hong Kong. No, no. You are the final authority in Jesus' name. And guess what? As I put all those, and I say amen, I put all the documents, and we've been instructed in your visa form that you should put so-and-so thing on the top, then another thing, da-da-da, da-da-da. And when I check my documents, guess what's missing? My photos. I just stood there. I said, Lord, I know. I put my photo here. And I remember my handbag. I said, right, I put my photo in my handbag. So what did your sister do? She held her bag upside down and let everything fell. Lipstick, creams, da-da-da, everything on the bed. And I shook it again, unzipped everything, shook it again. Few more things fell. And there was just that pockets all hanging empty. So I put it aside. I said, Lord, thank you. I searched all those things, no photos. Because I remember I had put it in just a little square thing, all tucked in, all wrapped up. Nothing. So I said, thank you, Lord. I took the remote, on TV, National Geography, watching movie. Movie or what? Animals. I said, Lord, I'm thanking you. You're in control. You're in control. In the midst of this, and the Lord just put in my hand, check in my heart. Check your handbag. Smart. Lord, I've just checked it. And he put that in again in my heart. Check your handbag. So I got the same handbag, which has been upside down. I just shook it like this. Nothing there. So my hand went in. Lord, your word says, when we seek, we shall find. When we knock, it shall be open. So yeah, I was going with my hand. I was saying that. And, you know, the doubt, that fear. I said, you're not touching me in Jesus' name. I know, Lord, that you are in control. So I was going, sisters. Remember, they were hanging. Nothing was there. But by faith, I put my hand in. And suddenly, my hand touched a familiar shape. And I touched it. I pulled it out. It was my photos. Who can do that? Who can do that when everything fell out? Empty. That is the God that we serve. He just wants to see how far do I trust him. How far does his daughter of his trust him? How far are you going to trust him with the impossible?
All the way.
Amen, sister. It has to be all the way. So I took my photos. Remember, I still have an obstacle to go. Haven't got my visa yet. So the following morning, I woke up, had a good time with the Lord, and I walked to the embassy. Now, my appointment time was 9:30. So I went up on the second floor in this beautiful plaza, and I went there and I just to see the location. Oh yeah, I'm on the right track. So I came down, have a beautiful breakfast, then I went up. When I came into the room, just at the door, I saw about 7-8 people all sitting. They too came to see, find out what's their visa. So I took a look. I saw the gentleman. I said, oh, hi, morning. I'm having an appointment at 9:30. Oh, sure. Okay, ma'am, what's your name? Da-da-da-da-da-da. He said, take a seat. So I sat down, waiting. Suddenly, the lady, there were two cubicle windows. So the lady said, so-and-so. This gentleman went up. Oh, sir, can you come next week on Monday and take your visa? I said, oh, thank you. He went out. So-and-so. Up this lady. Oh, ma'am, can you come on Wednesday next week and take your visa? Yeah. So I was just sitting there with my document. Then the next one. Can you come the following 2 days next week? As soon as that happened, I said to myself, Lord, today, this afternoon, I'm going to get my visa. I'm going to get in that plane. I have planned it all by faith, Lord, that I'm going to go in 12 a.m. flight tonight. And today, Lord, I'm going to take my visa. I'm not going to wait for next week. I'm not going to wait for Monday. No, this afternoon, I stood my ground. That's impossible. And I'm just saying, because I trust this God. He has brought me this far, and I'm not going to waver. Because I've seen him do things in my life. Do things in my family, in my ministry, where the impossible become possible. So there I was sitting. And all the following next week. Then she called out, Amelia Gavindi. I walk with my documents. Hi, good morning. She said, oh, morning, ma'am. So she took my documents. She flicked through it. You think your sister stopped fighting? I'm just saying to the devil, you're not touching this. You're not touching this. So she looked at it and she said, oh, we were expecting you. Oh. I said, amen. That's very much me. I amen just come automatically. So she just kind of gave me a smile like that. She went. And I saw her stood in front of the computer. She did some jabbing out there. And it was taking her. Then I saw her eyes. I said, devil, Now you just listen to me, listen to me. You are under my feet, and if you touch that computer, your fingers will be burned in the name of Jesus, because I cover it with the blood of Jesus. Your sister is standing here still fighting. And she did this. And that's the price. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm standing. I stand victoriously. Suddenly she came. She looked at me and she said, ma'am, can you come at 4 p.m. and pick up your passport? That's the impossible. Yeah. That's the impossible. That is the power of prayer. That is the power of prayer. When you continue to be connected with your God all day long, have quality time in prayer with your God. That even in the possible, you cannot see that it's the impossible. That you can still say, my God, He is faithful to give me that. So, dear sisters, 12 a.m., I was on the flight to Zurich, Switzerland. That's the God that we serve. Nothing's impossible. He just wants you to be, for you to be patient, because everything comes at His own good time. He knows that I have to be there in that meeting. That's why He gave me that. Sometimes the answers to your prayer can be within a day, can be just instant, like it happened to me, can be a month, can be a year. Do you trust Him enough that He will go? He will come. He will come. Do you trust Him? That's a question for you and I, dear sisters, this morning, this beautiful afternoon. So the Lord wants us to pray to Him, not only because it honors Him, but also because it helps us to go deeper, grow deeper in a relationship with Him. Furthermore, prayer taps us into His work in the world. At any given moment, you can pray for anyone, anywhere on earth, and have confidence that the Lord of the entire universe will hear you and respond in the most effective fashion. For this reason, prayer is one of the best ways to get involved in God's mission. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to participate in the expansion and functioning of God's kingdom by asking the Lord to help His children and impact His creation. Another reason the Lord instructs us to pray is to build our faith in Him. It pleases Him to help us along in our faith as we learn His word, practice His presence, and allow His thoughts and ways to become our very own. The Lord also loves to answer our prayers and see us grow bolder in our walk and witness. God's word tells us that He is faithful because He cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. If you are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So be certain to set aside time every day to talk and listen to Him, and you will learn this truth firsthand. Amen. And I just want to finish my sharing this beautiful afternoon, last testimony of mine. Now, on my way back from New York after all the meeting that I went through, anyway, I've never touched snow. Now, on my way to New York, not only I prayed for Washington, I prayed for something too. Lord, I've never touched snow, and I would love to experience snow, just to touch my hair. Okay? So, I reached New York, and when I reached New York, I was in the hotel, and I saw the TV, and the news was coming. New York will be experiencing a snowstorm. I said, snow? Oh, Lord, snow. Right. That evening, my friend came. She flew in from Philippines. She's the president for the Asia Baptist Union, Women's Union. So she came, and, she came about 10 or 11, and I told her, sis, I'm just so sleepy. If you see the snow out there on the window, can you wake me up? She said, sure. So, dear sisters, I was fast asleep, 3 a.m. She woke me. Amelia, Amelia. I woke up. Yeah. She said, look at the window, look at the window. And I look at the window. It's the snow. Dear sisters, this crazy sister of yours, I was on the bunk. Bang! I just jumped from there to the bottom. I just got a coat that was just hanging somewhere there. I got it in my nightwear pajamas. I knew I just put my feet in somebody, maybe it was shoes, I don't know. I ran to the lift, got in and dashed down. The receptionist, next thing, and they were looking. Oh, guess what I did? Right in the middle of New York City. Yeah, Lord, thank you for the snow. Thank you for the snow. And the snow just fell on my face. I was crying. I was so joyful. So, dear sisters, that was my first experience of snow in out there. Well, I experienced the cold here. But you know what? That is 3 a.m. 10 a.m., snow up to here. And I have to wear this heavy clothing. And I said, oh, my goodness, Lord, is this. And those heavy boots, you call it what? Gum boots? No, no. Yeah, some of those heavy ones. But it kept my feet warm. But I tell you, you know, it was just a lovely experience of having snow. Well, that's my prayer. That's my prayer. But my testimony I would like to talk about is returning home, and I reached Philadelphia. And I was in the toilet, and I was just going out, just before I go out, and I heard these footsteps, running feet towards the toilet. And at the same time, this crying going on. And suddenly at the corner, this young, dark, black American girl, she came, and she was holding a phone. No! No, she was crying. And I tell her, I've never seen it, but so it's just trembling, standing at the sink, and she's just moving. And she's talking on this phone. No, put her on the phone, put her on the phone. She was just crying. I mean, I was shocked to see her. And, you know, in that moment in time, I didn't see a stranger here. I didn't see an American girl. I just saw a soul that needed the Lord. So I just walked up to her. I walked up to her, and I just held her in my arms. And she cried and cried, and I said, do you believe in Jesus? She said, yes, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm going to pray over you, and just believe that he'll give you the peace that you need. So here I was in the toilet, dear sisters. I didn't care whether it's just a toilet. It doesn't matter to me. The soul matters to me. I didn't care who will come. I just held this young woman in my arms, and I prayed over her. I prayed over her. She went on crying. Suddenly, she subsides, and she stopped trembling. And I said, you know, girl, only Jesus can set you free. Only his peace can set you free. I don't know what you're going through, but that's who he is. So at the spur of a moment, I was sharing the goodness of God. And suddenly, I heard my flight being mentioned that I have to go to my gate as we have to depart. And just when I'm staying there, and someone said, Lord, I need somebody here. And there came this lovely, pretty European lady. And she said, ma'am, is there a problem? I said, yes. Can you look after her? I need to go because my flight is departing now. And she said, don't worry, ma'am, I work here, and I will look after her. Dear friends, where you can be, either in the toilet or outside there somewhere, when you see a need, attend to it. Don't see the color. Don't see how handsome they are, how beautiful they are. It's the soul that's within that need to be mended. Hallelujah. That's who we are in Christ. We just show the love of Jesus to everyone. It says in Matthew 6, 26, 40, 41, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord knew. He knew our flesh is weak. But I praise God that only him, he'll strengthen us to that be the prayer warrior that he wants us to be. So I pray, my dear sisters, as this is the last time I'll be talking to you, you know, when we leave each other today, be that prayer warrior that God wants. He wants to use you. He has a calling in your life. Remember, you're a woman of purpose and destiny. We are the daughters of the living God. We are the daughters of the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. We have all our weaknesses, but don't let that take you away. Because he has a calling in your life and in my life. To God be the glory. Amen.